Test Talks, episode 11.
If you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board. 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder.
Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Test Talks. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com, and this is Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation. Today, I want to talk about using Selenium within LoadRunner. Now, there are a few reasons why you want to do this, but we'll get into it shortly. First, I want to just apologize for not releasing an episode last week. I was actually on vacation, and I went to Seattle, because it's always been a lifelong dream of mine to see Jimi Hendrix's grave. And Jimi Hendrix is my favorite guitar player of all time. So I flew my wife all the way across country to check out Jimi Hendrix's grave. Who said I'm not romantic, huh? And I'm telling you, to me, it was well worth it. It was something I always wanted to do. It was awesome. So I'll post some pictures on the post so you can check it out. We also checked out a really cool museum called the Living Computer Museum. It's a museum that was started by Paul Allen, who's one of the co-founders of Microsoft. And it was really cool. It has exhibits of working computers that are really old, and they have some really historic machines there that you can check out, like the PDP-10. I don't know if anyone else ever read the book Hackers, Heroes of the Computer Revolution. It's a really great book that talks about, you know, basically it chronicles the history of computer hackers from the 50s all the way through the 80s. And a lot of the computers that it talks about in this book are actually on exhibit at the Living Computer Museum. So if you're a real nerd like me, you'd pick up that book, you'd read it, and then you'd be able to go to the Living Computer Museum and actually interact with some of those machines. I think it was awesome. On with the episode. So today, I'd like to talk about using Selenium with LoadRunner. So the first question you might ask is, why would I ever want to run Selenium with LoadRunner? And there's actually a few good reasons why you'd want to do this. The first, I just want to give a shout out to a webinar that really goes over some really cool techniques on how to do performance testing in an agile environment. It's by Sosta, and it's called Agile Load Testing in the Real World. So I'll have a link to this also in the show notes at testtalks.com. And basically, some of the points that they bring out in this talk is exactly some of the reasons why you might want to use Selenium with LoadRunner. And the first point really is you want to try to do performance testing as early as possible, because the closer you can get to finding a performance issue before you develop something, the easier it's going to be. So if you wait to after the application's already been architected and programmed and developed, then it's probably too late to really make any significant changes to the performance that you're seeing, other than just throwing more equipment at it. So if you could start as early as possible, that's a big advantage. So one of the biggest challenges, though, in order to start doing some sort of performance testing early is that a lot of times you're using Agile and you're doing quick sprints, and a lot of the times you may not have a fully finished product at the end of that sprint, but you do have something that is usually functioning that you could test. So usually you wait till you have a complete system to do a performance test so you can see how everything works from beginning to end. And that's the traditional way of doing performance testing. You still would do that, but one way that you can try to get on top of performance testing as early as possible is actually start collecting some sort of performance measurements from sprint to sprint. And so basically what you're doing is you're looking for trends. And so the trends are from sprint to sprint. Are we getting better or are we getting worse? So you're not really looking for hardcore absolute values that you're going to use, like response times and transaction per second. It's more going to be, you know, are the trends getting worse or are they getting better? And by capturing this information as early as possible from sprint to sprint, you should be able to flush out possible performance issues sooner rather than later. So a quick and dirty way of doing this is actually utilizing your existing Selenium script. So if you're working in a sprint and you're creating automation scripts in each sprint, what you could also do is you can add some performance measurements around key business functionality that is going to be critical to your application. And you can start keeping track of how long that takes. And you can run that in your CI environment every night. And then over time, you'll have a nice chart of trends of how long that performance is. So if you see that performance start going up, you know, hey, let's look at this. Maybe there's a way we can optimize for this. So because it's a client-based front end, it's going to be based on the hardware it's running on. But basically, like I'm saying, it's not hard numbers you're looking for. It's going to be relative. So is it getting worse or better? Is basically that type of level that you want to get to when you're really doing performance testing at this early stage. And so the main problem I've seen with teams, because normally you have a center of excellence, right? You have a team that is usually dedicated specifically to performance testing. So you get an application, you go, blip, hand it over to the center of excellence and have them work on the performance. But this way, you can get the Scrum teams involved as soon as possible. Because they're already familiar with Selenium, you can start having them use the tools and the techniques that you will do later on for a full performance test. And this is one way to have them get more familiar with the test tool. So, for example, in my team, we have 6 or 7 Scrum teams. And so I'm trying to introduce LoadRunner to them. And this is the best way I could think of to get them actually installing LoadRunner on their machines and be able to use it right away and just try to get familiar with it. So later on, you know, the knowledge base is there for doing a full end-to-end performance test. And people already have the tools working on their system. And I just think it's a great way to try to get more people involved in performance testing rather than wait at the end of development and give it to a team, you know, a center of excellence, because you really want to have performance done as soon as possible. The more people you have involved in this and thinking about this from sprint to sprint, the better the performance of your application should be when you're done with development. So in the past, using LoadRunner is pretty much it's like an industrial strength type of tool for performance testing. And it's very expensive. But starting with LoadRunner 12, HP now includes, for free, a 50 concurrent user license. So you can go to the website, download LoadRunner, and be able to use it up to 50 concurrent users for pretty much any protocol. There are some protocols that aren't included, but Selenium is one of the protocols that are included. So you could just download the eval version and as long as you're just using up to 50 concurrent users, you're good. So here's another way that you can get developers to actually install LoadRunner on their machine and not have to worry about the added expense of having to have licenses for all these different machines. So you can have people being able to create scripts on their machines, be able to run them within a controller and analyze the results up to 50 users. So I think that's a great new feature of LoadRunner 12. If you're not aware of that, that is one reason why you may want to start looking at LoadRunner, just because I still think it's one of the best tools for performance testing. So in LoadRunner, what you usually want to do when you're creating an automation script for performance testing is you use their tool called VueGen. And VueGen is where you actually do recordings of the script that you actually will eventually use within your performance scenarios. So one of these protocols is Java. So you could create a Java protocol and you could write it in such a way that it's able to interact with the Selenium bindings and be able to create your JavaScript just like you would a normal Java test using Selenium. That's one way of doing it. However, what I think is easier for us is in LoadRunner 12, there's an add-in you can actually add to Eclipse. So as someone's creating their normal Selenium test within their IDE, they also can add LoadRunner transactions directly to the script that they're working on within Eclipse. And I just think that's easier because you don't have to jump from one tool to another. So once you download LoadRunner, there's actually an add-in available from the install called LoadRunner Eclipse IDE Add-in Dev Setup.exe. Now, don't worry about having to remember that name. I actually created a post called How to Run a Selenium Script in LoadRunner. And I'll include a link to that within the show notes at testtalks/11. So once you install that add-in, it creates a new menu option under Eclipse called DevOps VUser. And from the DevOps View User menu, you now have all these different options that allows you to interact with LoadRunner from within your Eclipse IDE. So this is really cool. So you may have existing Selenium scripts already. Once you install this add-in now, you can then add different LoadRunner specific methods to your scripts that will be understood when you actually run it within LoadRunner itself. Now, normally these type of activities are done within the LoadRunner VUGen. So VUGen basically stands for Virtual User Generator. So within the Virtual User Generator is typically where you normally create your test scripts and add your transactions. It's basically your script IDE for LoadRunner. But we're able to bypass this with this add-in so we can do all our scripting directly within Eclipse and not have to use the VUGen tool. So what you want to do is within your existing Selenium scripts is you want to start creating business transactions or business processes. And a business process is basically a set of user actions that you would perform within an application to accomplish a business task. So examples of this would be logging into a website or buying a book on Amazon, things like that. Those are typically what you would call a business transaction. So once you've identified the key functionality that you want to keep track of for this high-level performance trend information, is you want to create transactions. And so in LoadRunner, a LoadRunner transaction is a step that you add to your script that actually measures one or more actions. So without transactions, LoadRunner would not be able to take any measurement. So say you had a login business process that you wanted to keep track of. You wanted to see how long it took. You would create a start transaction before you say clicked on a login button. So you had a login button. Right before that, you do a start transaction. And then you want to take how long it takes from when you click on that start button to when the application loads. So say you want to wait till the title appears in your browser. So you add an insertion. So assertion equals, you know, get title, make sure that the title equals what you expect. And then you can do an end transaction. So basically that transaction is measuring anything that's in between the start and end point of that transaction. So it's going to measure how long it took from when you clicked on that button to when that assertion passed for getting the title. So once again, transactions are very important. Basically, the reason why you would want to add a transaction again is you want to be able to measure something. So transactions are LoadRunner's only means for measuring performance. And so what you want to do is you want to identify business critical functionality that you want to keep track of. And with these transactions, you're able to measure a single step or you can measure a group of steps. And this allows you to do performance comparisons between different load tests. And with these transactions, it helps you identify performance problems. So once you run these multiple times with multiple users, being able to look at the results and see where your performance issue is occurring, transactions allows you to pinpoint where within your full script a performance degradation is occurring. So say you had your application orders a book off Amazon. So you go to Amazon, you click on a book link. The book link comes up. You want to add it to your shopping cart. And, you know, this is the whole end-to-end life cycle of the full flow that you want to do a performance test against. So you would add transactions for each piece of that flow. And when you run the test, you'll be able to say, okay, it looks like the login's fine, the clicking on the shopping cart is fine, but it looks like the bulk of my performance time is being done when I'm actually clicking on the checkout button. So transactions are what allow you to actually pinpoint what steps within your full business flow is actually causing the most performance degradation in your script during your test run. So with the Selenium LoadRunner add-in installed, when you go to your DevOps VUser menu, you have an option where you can then add a LoadRunner API reference to your project. And once you do that, you have access to all the different LoadRunner methods you can use. So once your script is ready, you have your transactions entered, you then go to the DevOps VUser launch controller option. So this allows you to create a scenario. So a performance scenario is where you specify all the different elements and the different conditions that you want to capture during your test run. So one of the most fundamental things is how many users you want to run for your performance test. So if you had an actual service level agreement that says the system shall support 50 concurrent users the scenario is where you would specify the 50 users to run concurrently. All this scenario-specific information is handled within the LoadRunner controller. Basically, LoadRunner has three main pieces. The first one is the virtual user generator that we talked about earlier, where you create your scripts. The second piece is the LoadRunner controller. And the LoadRunner controller is the central hub of all the activity where you're actually running your tests. So it allows you to create scenarios, it allows you to run multiple V users, it allows you to control how long it takes each V user to start and stop, it displays execution results during runtime, it'll show you all the messages of a V user, it monitors servers so you can add measurements to your database server, your web server, and keep track of CPU utilization and processor time, all these different things. All this type of activity is handled within the controller. So you run your test, your scenario within the controller, and when that test is done, you then view the results within the LoadRunner analysis piece. So say, for example, you selected 10 as the number of users that you wanted to run in your scenario when you selected the DevOps launch controller option from the create scenario pop-up dialog. So the LoadRunner controller would launch and would have your Selenium script listed, and next to it, it would have 5. And from the controller, you can tell it what machine to run on. So you can run it either locally or you can have it run on a different machine. So the controller is also where you specify where to actually run your script. So if you had a simple example where you just wanted to launch, do a search in Google, and wait for the result, you would run 5 users within the controller, and the controller then would run in 5 different browser instances, would start on your machine, and it would then keep track of all the timings within your start and end transactions that you had specified in your script. And once you have these timings, when the script is over, you could then look within the LoadRunner analysis to see how long it took for each of those different transactions to take. So in my blog post, How to Run a Selenium Script in LoadRunner, I go over step-by-step how to get started using LoadRunner 12, how to install the add-in, and I walk you through a very simple example of how to create a script and then run it within the controller and then look at the result. I think it's really cool. I think if you're using Agile, you should try to get your Scrum teams involved earlier rather than later, and this is one way of doing it. Also, once you have the scenario specified, you can also run this within a CI environment. So LoadRunner integrates with CI tools like Jenkins. And so you could run this every day, and it really should help you keep track of high-level trends of whether or not your code is getting worse or better. So if you start seeing transactions take a nosedive from one sprint to another, you can right away get on it and see what may have caused that performance degradation. Cool. So that's it for using Selenium within LoadRunner. It should be enough to get you started.
Patch alert. Listen up. Patch alert. Listen up.
Since we're already speaking about LoadRunner, I just wanted to mention also that if you're using LoadRunner 11.52, that HP just released a critical patch that fixes an OpenSSL bug issue called Heartbleed. So if you're familiar with the Heartbleed bug, and you're concerned about that, and you're using LoadRunner 11.52, you probably want to check out this patch and install it as soon as possible. Once again, I'll have that link in the show notes. And I just want to also remind everyone about the Selenium conference that's going on in Bangalore on September 4th to the 6th. I went to the Selenium conference last year in Boston, and I thought it was excellent. The speakers were fantastic, and I learned a lot of tools and techniques that I put into practice as soon as I got back to work. So if you're able to make this conference, you should check it out. I think registration is now open, and there's some early bird specials going on. So if you plan on going to Selenium, you should book it now to get the lowest rate possible. I wish I can go, but I can't convince my company to pay for airfare to get me from Boston to Bangalore. So unfortunately, I won't be there, but I know last year they also recorded all these sessions, so you could watch them on YouTube later on. So if you're not able to make it, you can view it later on. But if you are able to go, I highly recommend that you check it out. It's a great time. You'll learn a lot, and you get to meet other people within the Selenium community, so check that out. Thank you for joining me on Test Talks. And remember, you can find the links to everything of value that we talked about today in the show notes at www.testtalks.com/11. And as always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.